What's up and welcome to the Mandalorian After Show. We're breaking down Chapter 4, The Sanctuary, directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. We have a new planet, new characters, and a whole lot to break down, so stick with us.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
Oh, yeah. Meme assemble! Oh my gosh, that meme broke the internet. I'm so here for it. Welcome back to the Mandalorian After Show. We missed you all during our Thanksgiving break. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving or however way you celebrated your day off. We hope it was great. We have a really fun episode to talk about today. Before we get into it, I'm Chewbacca's long-lost daughter, Steph Sabra, and I am joined to the left by Rylo Ren. He is the head of Popcorn Talk, and Ryan Nilsson is his real
his
Earth
full name. Thank you so much, Chewbacca's daughter. Yes, episode 4, exciting one. Hope you had an amazing break. And Christian Blatt, I know you had a great break.
Christian Blatt to his left, Grand Moff Christian, to be correct.
Thank you very much, yes. We ate many banthas on Thanksgiving, as we often do. They're delicious. Give it a try.
Do you have any soup? Any Yoda soup?
Oh, yeah, mostly Yoda soup.
I've had a lot of Yoda soup this week. I think there's a lot of us under the weather. So maybe Yoda soup has healed us. But we are missing Grand Admiral Zia Anderson. And that is our one of two in our Star Wars, or in our Marvel panel,
Correct,
is Christian.
Yes.
So we really miss her. But she will be back next week. Don't worry. So
and let's just let people know that right after this, if you're watching live, we're going to do episode 5.
Yeah.
That's
yes,
right. So
yes.
Tweet at Zia_Land and tell her how much you miss her.
Yeah. That's
she's
a
missing
good
two
idea.
Episodes. Oh.
Two.
Well, I mean, and look, who cannot miss that Star Wars girl?
We miss
Hello.
Her dearly. Perfect pick. That is our producer in the booth, Jeff Graham. He knows nothing about Star
he
Wars,
knows
but knows a lot about film
yeah,
and TV.
A lot about film. Before we started, he was like, well, so does this one have the Vulcans in it or is it the Klingons? And I'm like, Jeff, just start trying. Just a little.
I'm going to start trying harder. Okay. I do want to quickly pat my film knowledge on the back, though. Today, Ryan, there's a movie that came out on Netflix today called Marriage Story. I'll keep it quick.
Yes.
Ryan told me that there is a Broadway song in it.
He did.
I guessed the composer and the song first try.
Ryan just
it.
Sunk down.
He
nice.
Did guess it. Yes. It was really impressive.
Well, let's tie it to Star Wars. Who is in that movie?
Kylo Ren?
Yeah.
Wow. How was it?
It was good. I mean, it's about his divorce. So if you want to watch Kylo Ren go through a divorce, check it out
love
on Netflix.
Love it.
I definitely
want to
see
you
that.
If you want to watch us talk about this episode, stick with us. We're going to be breaking down the new planet introduction to Cara Dune, which has been highly anticipated. And I don't know what the future of her character is, but we'll get into it. And then the villagers and Mando and kind of the backstory, more backstory on Mando that we get from the villagers. Then that epic battle scene and kind of what's next with the bounty hunter still get chasing after our beloved baby Yoda. And then we will have our special segment by Ryan Nilsson, and that is our Director's Corner.
Director's Corner, where we break down the backstory and history of the director of this episode, Bryce Dallas Howard.
And then we will have some prediction or news and gossip. News and gossip, and it will also involve our director, Bryce Dallas Howard.
All the baby Yoda tea.
Yeah. Then we will wrap it up with predictions. But I do want to remind you guys, we are live on YouTube right now. Christian Blatt is the man in the chat, and he'll be talking to you all and keeping us in the loop because you guys are a part of our panel as well. So let's dive right in. What was your overall thoughts of Chapter 4?
Wow. I really liked this episode quite a bit. This was very inspired by some Westerns and Samurai films of the past, if you've ever seen.
I'm sorry, I just spilled all my coffee.
Wow. I saw the drips, but
go on.
Keep it together, McClunky.
Yeah, you definitely McClunkied yourself.
It. Yeah, Yoda.
McClunkied
wow.
all over your shirt.
Wow. And it's my Christmas Yoda top.
Oh, boy.
Well, we'll
elf,
clean
I am
that
not.
Up. Elf,
baby
elf,
Yoda is
not.
Officially better at drinking hot liquids than our very own Chewbacca's daughter,
wow.
Sasabra.
You are correct,
fight.
Sir.
Yes.
Okay,
Rye,
so sorry.
It's just like this film, Yojimbo, which is a samurai film from the 30s and 40s. And it's basically, you know, it's the classic setup, like this hero kind of far out bounty hunter coming through an old town. The villagers need help and he offers up his support and maybe learns a few things about himself along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, classic Western samurai setup premise. Really thoroughly enjoyed it. And we learned a lot more about Mando this episode.
Yeah.
That film, of course, directed by the great Akira Kurosawa. So it's like when you know anything about samurai movies, that's your guy.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of people, so the internet is quibbling like, is this a Western or is it a samurai? They're really the same thing.
It's both.
The samurai, I would say, it's a little bit more appropriate because they have the armor and the code and
the
all that.
The code of honor,
but
yeah.
But the wandering from town to town and all of that, that feels a lot like the Western. And a lot of samurai movies, The Seven Samurai was made into The Magnificent Seven. So yeah, they're really the same thing. And I love that you get a little bit of these undertones from both different kind of genres in this show.
Yojimbo is basically A Fistful of Dollars. So it's these 60s movies that are, forgive me, I said 30s, it's 60s movies.
I was not going to correct you.
That's a great
point. I was keeping that to myself.
Great point.
That's not like me. I must not be feeling well that I wasn't going to correct you.
Yeah, Christian and I are under the weather.
But I have Yoda tea.
I'm healthy.
Oh my gosh. Get out of here, Ryan.
I'm back to tanks.
Well, my opinion on the episode is that it was great. And we talked about this on Star Wars News, which Ryan and I do on our sister network, Popcorn Talk.
Every 4 p.m. Thursdays.
Exactly. I was saying that I love this episode, but it's funny, my sister, who's not the biggest Star Wars fan, loved this episode. So it was by far her favorite. It's the one that sold her into the series. And we were talking about she's the type of Star Wars viewer that liked Solo better than all of the films, really. So,
well, my hot take that I've said on record before is I liked Solo more than the last 35 years worth of Star Wars movies. Since Return of the Jedi. Because you know why? Sorry. It was fun.
I mean, speaking of Solo, the Howards, but both the family members, what's great you were saying is there's such a variety with these episodes.
Yeah, they're hitting each fan base. But I think this episode was fun. That's exactly it. And we did have some deeper moments and some moments of vulnerability that we haven't seen Mando in, which I'm here for. I'll wait patiently until he's ready. But
are you like the woman on the planet, forgive me, I don't remember her name, where you're willing to just, you know, throw down with this guy without ever seeing him?
How close were they to just
going,
getting in that ship?
Yeah.
And I mean, take your helmet off. Like, whoa, what's about to go down here?
Yeah, I mean, this is a man's code of honor, and you were just about to ask for it.
He's like, if I take it off, I can't put it back on. Which is, whoa.
Yep. So mind-blowing. But yeah, the episode overall was fun. I love to see Gina, and we knew that she's in a really she's an extremely athletic woman and superstar. So to see her, and I know she did all of her stunts essentially.
Yeah, all of her stunts, MMA background. We finally got to see her. She had a character poster, and we got her in episode 4. So we were all curious to see who her character was, and we learned a ton about her backstory too, with the rebellion and everything.
Yeah, let's talk about her. So we land on this new planet, and I do have some issues with the fact that Mando is just walking around with Baby Yoda like he's not the most wanted man in the galaxy right now.
Right.
What did you think? Is that just how the separation is between planets, that they might not know?
I mean, Christian Blatt, you're a father. Would you just leave your kid, like, order some broth, and I'm just going to track someone down real quick.
We'll talk more about this when we watch episode 5, by the way. But yeah, I mean, clearly he's doesn't really have any nurturing settings on that armor, because he's just like, all right, you know, don't touch anything. But what I love about Baby Yoda, he's like, all right, stay here and don't touch anything. And then the door opens, and then standing right next to him, he's like, no, I'm going on this adventure with you. So he knows to leave him there. But at the same time, Baby Yoda's like, yeah, I gotta walk the earth. I came from Kung Fu. You know, I cannot stay on that ship. I'm glad you like that. So I think that's what makes him so endearing. He's like, no, and we've only seen a little of it, really, in that one episode. He can take care of himself, you know? And he hasn't had to in a lot of these other episodes. So he's not worried, I don't think. So he's just like, I'm going to be okay. Don't worry about
Baby Yoda?
Baby Yoda.
It's funny.
I mean, he took down whatever that Dewback-looking
beast was. Big horn monster.
A big rhino. He literally flipped. There's a coin on this table, by the way. He flipped a coin and was like, watch the kid. I mean, it was a cool Western moment, but he would just get up at a moment's notice to pursue someone who he might think is a threat and leave Baby Yoda helpless. Luckily, he came around the corner with the soup, but I don't know. I think he's being a little neglectful. He's not really thinking it through. Like, you have it's 50 years old, but you have a child.
Yeah.
I don't think Baby Yoda can really take care of himself fully.
He has some degree of ownership of the Force. I think if his life was in danger, you could see somebody at least get frozen up in the air while he scampers away with his adorable feet.
We'll see. I don't think he can get far on foot.
That's true. He, yeah, well, can he fly?
We've been watching.
I hope.
The beginning of this episode was a little slower for me, and then I got more into it because I was also the introduction of Kara seemed like, how are you that just
right?
He was making way too much eye contact or whatever kind of eye contact you can make with a helmet contact. But nonetheless, we got their introduction and they meet outside and they have a really
right. Well, I was big sorry. Fight. They have a big fight, but yeah. she mentions post fight. That she like was on Endor.
Yeah, so she was on Endor, but she left because
the politics got
yeah,
away.
Yeah,
which is pretty fascinating. I kind of wish we got more about that.
I know
we got two sentences, something about I was there for when they were cleaning up on Endor.
Well, and there have been some disparaging comments for the New Republic not doing a great job with the takeover from the Empire, which. Obviously, they don't do an amazing job if the First Order takes effect somewhere, you know, between now and Force Awakens. So I do like when we get those little tidbits about it, though, you know, and I like when you just feel like maybe the planets that we see on The Mandalorian are a little bit more beaten down than they were under the Empire, because it's like, sure, look, they were tyrannical murderers, all the worst things you can think of. But it seems like, you know, they at least kept some degree of order. And the New Republic's like, oh, do whatever you want.
That's yeah.
okay. Just share your feelings. We'll be over here. We're gonna go in our magic city in the sky. We'll go in Coruscant.
What do we... So we know she...
The guild is after her,
right.
too.
Oh, yeah. The guild's after her, mm-hmm. too. She has had a history with a rebellion. She has this tattoo.
Yeah.
Under her eye right there. It's yeah. pretty cool. I hope you learn more about that.
Gang.
I hope you get one by next week.
I see.
Just something to think about.
Yeah, maybe a Sharpie marker.
But, get my name tied on your face or we're not co-pilots.
Steph.
Oh, man. I'm being put on the spot here. Yeah, I mean, what did you think? We were a little curious about what her performance is going to be like because her mileage has varied in the past. And I think I was happy.
I was happy too.
I thought she did a solid job.
So I've never seen her in anything. I understand that she's in Fast and Furious.
You saw her in Madness in the Method.
Oh my god, I did see her.
Yeah.
You're right. Oh, was she J. Muse's girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay, so I forgot that I saw her in that. But I haven't seen her in like an action film. Shout out to Roxy Stryer, by the way.
Yeah.
but I love how that's Roxy Stryer's movie featuring J. Muse. In any case, I forgot that I saw her in that. But I haven't seen her do action sequences. And I'm like, I don't know, that's all I want from her.
Yeah.
I thought that the action sequence was great. And we've been so lucky with this show that they don't have to skimp on the action. You know, like they're going to spend a full day choreographing it, make sure they get it to look right. So the action sequences are great. And just the fact that he's in this armor, you're like, it's not easy to move around in that, you
know?
So,
to fight like that.
But he doesn't really have that much of a problem, you know? And so that's why it's always so impressive.
Yeah, she was really impressive in that. And I thought it was directed great and shot great because it looked like a realistic fight between two really strong people instead of where they could have cut corners. I thought that was a great scene. And then just to cap it off, the most iconic moment where during the middle of their fight, you turn and Baby Yoda's just sipping soup
again,
in a robe.
Just he's bringing everyone together. You could be fist fighting someone on a random planet, aiming guns at each other's heads, and then you see Baby Yoda, and you're like...
And I love how he's able to sense, obviously, that there's not a real problem between them two, or else he would have probably wanted to get in between it like he did. We've seen him before. Instead, he was just like casually like, they'll get over this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's such a great meme.
It's like he got a front row seat and he's like, this is awesome.
You children. Know?
There's not a much of a stage show. Yeah, he's probably older than both of them, by the way. He's 50.
Yeah.
You think Mando's 50 under there?
No.
She's not.
No.
So that's a great point. Yeah. So, just he's always so calm, cool, and collected. And
God bless him.
We love you, Baby Yoda. I didn't see that episode until I think yesterday. So that meme was making the rounds since last Friday. I didn't feel like it ruined my enjoyment of it at all.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. But they kind of go in separate directions, which was a little bit surprising. But we know that they ended up back together. But
Well,
he's like, this planet's hers. She's on the run.
Oh, yeah.
This planet's taken.
Yes.
We're going to, okay, let's move out tomorrow morning. And he's packing
the
ship.
Which is so bizarre to me because it's an entire planet. But I guess if the guild is after you both, I understand it's too hot. The streets are too hot for both of you. But whatever. we find out they're on Sorgan is the planet. And it's the same from the intro shot we get of the peaceful farming people that they get attacked by Platoonian raiders.
Some raiders.
Are those Bossk looking characters, or do they look a little different? I couldn't quite tell.
Slightly different.
Yeah, okay, so, but, you know, probably.
They kind of look like Lord of the Rings.
Probably the same costumes, but they added some different color to it.
Like Uruk-hai a little.
Yeah.
For sure.
But they end up, two of the villagers end up meeting Mando on his ship before he takes off and are begging for his help. And we all knew that he was going to come around, but there was a moment where I'm like, Mando!
This was the one scene I was sort of rolling my eyes at.
Again,
we saw it coming. We know what's going to happen. Yeah. He's going to go help them out. But the fact that these two guys, first of all, they ride like a little speeder hover thing over and they're like, help us! We need help! And, like, they're really begging. And he goes, I'm just not about it. And they're like, man, we got to walk all the way back. It's like, dude, you rode there. Yeah. What are you talking about? Walk back. Walk all the way back. It's, like, a quarter mile away.
Drag them!
Like, what are you talking about, man? And he's just, like, outwardly complaining, like, not keeping it to himself. Oh, man, now we got to go all the way back.
Oh,
and Mando's,
I'm
like,
done.
Secluded.
It's like they drove their electric car to Vegas, but there was no charging station there. So they're like, well, now we can't do anything with it. I feel like that's what it was.
Wow.
I know. And, you know, okay, it wasn't that bad. But when Mando hears, okay, they can provide me some shelter. Maybe if I give them a little help, they'll help me out a little. I love that. That's a great plot device. Unlike Yojimbo, where... it's so, even in those old samurai movies and Western films, they're just kind of brought into the situation. This seemed very believable. Like, they do have something he needs. Like, this is a realistic reasoning for him to help.
I agree. And it does make sense that he would want to bring Kara along too when they ended up grabbing her, because it is a pretty good hiding spot. If there wasn't a tracker, it'd be a great hiding spot to be with village people who have been there for centuries.
Totally right.
So that made sense. So he ends up going with him. They pick up Kara, obviously. And then we get the introduction into the characters that we saw in the opening shot. But one is the love interest. And she exposes this whole new side of Mando, because she instantly starts just getting after him about his life, essentially. Yeah. And the meaning of his helmet and when he can take it off. And that's when Ryan mentioned it earlier. We found out that if he takes it off, he just can't put it back on.
There were more questions between the two of them than like on a first date.
I know.
The sexual tension. Well, my goodness.
You have to think of it as more like speed dating. You got to get it all out.
It really was. Speed dating.
I did. See, now that I like. I did like that we saw that he took off his helmet to eat by himself.
Yeah, because I was wondering that.
Yeah, because it's like at some point, like, you got to take it off. Yeah. I get it. No one can see you. And does
my acne would just be insane.
Yeah, he's probably really ugly.
He's probably got like a ZZ Top beard, you know? I mean,
my gosh.
But do you think he takes it off in front of Baby Yoda? That was my thought.
Oh, great question.
Because it's like, he's another person, but he's also like a baby. In theory, he might not remember things from this point in his life.
I don't think he does.
My guess is he doesn't, yeah. Since they're on the ship together, you know, it's...
Everyone, though, have you run into people talking about the show? Everyone's like, how does he eat? I'm like, guys, they show it in this episode. He takes the helmet off. He just eats. Like, people are thinking, like, oh, he puts it under the helmet. Like, no, he takes it off.
He has a straw.
He's got a straw. Like, everyone was asking that when I was home for Thanksgiving. Like, how does Mando eat with the helmet on? He can't always have it on. I'm like, yeah. So I'm too was happy they took it off and showed that.
But through that, we kind of get more confirmation that Mando wasn't like Mandalorian born. It seems like he has a lot to prove, and that's why when he's being questioned, and I think kind of almost tempted to settle down and live this life, I think he has a lot more he wants to do and prove for himself.
That's such a big point, Steph. I think that was maybe the biggest reveal for his character this episode, because this whole time we've thought, oh, he was just one of the Mandalorians, he was raised. I think that village and those flashbacks that we've gotten in other episodes, he wasn't a Mandalorian. That wasn't Mandalore. So this was another village, and he was a foundling, like all these other kids that they reference when he's with the other Mandalorians in the other episodes. So this is more... This is super intriguing because he is not a Mandalorian by blood. And I think that this is teasing the idea that he will take that helmet off and maybe even leave the Mandalorian order. I think because he's not a traditional Mandalorian. That's a really key element to his character now.
My thinking, by the way, when this episode started, I thought that it was a flashback and we were going to see like a young version of him again.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It seemed like, okay, so this is the beginning of what we've seen flashes of before. Then, you know, it became apparent fairly quickly that that's not what it was. But I thought it was like, all right, we're going to start off with the Mando flashback. But it seems that it was all very familiar to him because that early part of his life probably felt exactly like that village to him.
Yeah, yeah. It's a reason for him to do it, too. Yeah. He connects with them. He identifies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm really... That's the main thing that's keeping me obsessed with the show is I just love the whole lore and background of him and the Mandalorians, and finding out more about him, I think, is where we're finding depth in the show. Everything else is kind of... I realize it's just an adventure of the week.
Yeah.
Almost, so.
It's simple but effective.
Yeah. Yeah, so we meet more of the villagers. Baby Yoda wins over all the village kids, which is the best thing ever. And... obviously, there's the raiders that are trying to get after them. So originally, when they found out they have an ATST, they decided that they were going to leave them.
You guys got to move. There's an ATST. We got to get out of here. I thought that was a great approach. That's, you know, that's the
I love
between...
that we got an ATST, though. They're so badass.
That's the difference between a bounty hunter and a superhero. A superhero is like, well, we're going to have to fight that ATST, aren't we? Bounty hunter's like, yep, everybody move. We got to go.
Everyone
this isn't going to work out, you guys. Trust me.
When I watched this over Thanksgiving break, I was at home. And I have a Lego ATST right here in my room. That was so awesome to see. I was totally nerding out. Like, we saw those on Endor.
Yep.
This was such a cool utilization of that vehicle. Like, they got it from the Empire. The eyes were red.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. My God.
And now the way it was shot when they first went into the forest during the attack, it looked like a monster, and it was really well done. It wasn't usually how we see them in just walking and playing. It was sleeping.
And they're talking about it like, we can't take that on. Yeah. Like, they're really building it up.
But speaking of Endor, when they are like, okay, we'll stay. Let's devise a plan. Mm. I feel like that trap was very Ewok Endor-esque.
Definitely.
Well, I mean, the Ewoks just took a couple of logs and bashed it in the side. Like, I was like, well, where's that plan? You know?
There's no trees.
Well, you know what? You might have just poked a hole in my plan. But I did like that it was whoever was operating it was smart enough to be like, nope, not going to go step in your trap.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at this concept art.
That's
amazing. Yeah.
But the plan was cool, and teaching the villagers how to fight was very, I got like a very, that felt very throwbacky too, in a sense, and also Mulan-esque.
That's very like Magnificent Seven, and you know, or any of those.
Western
movies.
Throwback.
You have to help you need help from the locals. So, you know, it's like, who's shot a blaster? By the way, Mando's girlfriend had shot a blaster before.
Oh, how
that's
badass.
That's how you knew she was perfect for him.
Yeah, that's when he was like, damn, I'm tested right
so
now.
So does she have a background? Like, how does she have blaster experience? Was she ever fighting with the Resistance or the Stormtroopers?
That's a great question.
I think she had something to do with that. And maybe, you know, because we can tell Stormtroopers used to be on this planet since there is an ATST.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she fought with them in the past. I hope we get her again. I hope a lot of these characters we're getting in this season we
I feel like we're
with.
Not.
I,
so.
I feel like not in this season. I feel like in season two we might revisit some of them. I think we might never see Nick
her
Nolte.
Again.
I think we might never see Nick Nolte again. I have spoken.
No. Oh, that sucks. Yeah, that's kind of the bummer I've realized throughout the weeks. Luckily, The Mandalorian is so enticing, and that is enough.
Mm.
But it does. I love characters and diving into them deeply in shows. So it's kind of a little bit disappointing that we only really have one to focus on, and we're barely getting.
We're getting sprinkles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that battle scene, I thought it was epically shot.
Absolutely epic. I mean, and really cool that we got the plan, too, of them. Okay, So we have this little ditch.
Yeah.
It's like this little river, and if it steps in it, it'll totally collapse. Love that idea, and we're going to draw them in with the villagers. But then when the AT-ST doesn't step in it, like, how are they going to get it to fall in there? And, it was a really awesome battle. Like you said, the training was cool. It really was a fun little battle, which we're not used to.
Yeah.
As Star Wars. Everything has to be gigantic, epic, across, like, massive landscapes. Like, this is a small little town.
And it made sense for what they had. If it was any bigger, it wouldn't make sense. It was just well written, because they weren't, like, a huge enemy, but they were big enough. And they were able to get them with what they had. Christian?
Yeah, we have this box of thermal detonators. Would that help? You know, so I was glad that they made, they had realistic resources for what they would have. Obviously, Mando's ship is loaded for bear, so that helped a lot. But it's not like they had stuff. That's one of those ones you're like, all right, well, why do you have all that, you know? And why did you let all your food get stolen if you have some kind of weaponry to defend yourself?
Yeah. So,
can you imagine?
I just want to include the chat for a moment.
Yeah.
Liquid King 87 says that Mando is not a traditional Mandalorian race-wise, but he is Mandalorian by culture and by other Mandalorians. This is the way for millennia. So what truly is a Mandalorian? And our friend Ivan Soto says, the Mandalore culture is very adoptive. It's not rare that Mando isn't a born Mandalorian. It's pretty common, actually. There's conversation out there that neither Jango nor Boba Fett are actual Mandalorians. They just wore the armor.
Yeah.
So, as in born in one Mandalore.
Right, not actually born there, right? but adopted into the society.
Yeah, it's an injury that I love that we're getting more information with that and diversity, because it makes sense realistically in real life. Culture, ethnicity, nationality, all is different, and it's not, you're not always born into anything. It's mainly how you're raised.
Oh, absolutely. And I think in comparison with the Jedi, you know, the Jedi traditionally you're brought in, but and not rarely raised into the Jedi. But with Mandalore, it seems like you get both.
Mm-hmm.
You can be born in, like, maybe a Mandalorian has a child and then they're raised as a Mandalorian. He was one of the foundlings. He was brought in, which I think is a key. It might not be a massive difference for the culture, obviously, but in terms of this character, I do think that is definitely worth noting.
I see Jeff looking at memes, which I can't wait to share later. But I do want to shout out the chat. Thank you guys for watching with us and joining this conversation. If you're on YouTube, make sure to hit that like button. Hit it right now, baby. And then leave us a comment after this episode ends. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, hello. Please give us those 5 stars. Leave us a review there, because we love to keep the conversation going there as well. Okay, another scene that I loved was that ending scene where Mando is having this really hard decision where he wants to leave Baby Yoda because he's so happy. What?
Oh, wait, I just wanted to ask a question.
Ask.
I don't, sorry.
You're so excited.
Kara jumping up and like shooting the eye and then getting it to fall, because I was like, all right, gonna get it to step in,
but we know what Mando's rifle does.
His rifle, you know? Yeah, it obliterates
so
people.
So the fact that that thing is reinforced and stronger than other metals, so she didn't obliterate the AT-ST. I think that's
inside.
Why she took it. So I don't know, I think because she had that weapon, it was believable, you know. But it's fair, because it's like, oh, so wait, a lightsaber can cut through anything? You know, like the AT-ATs on Hoth. You're like, oh, okay, so a lightsaber can cut right through that. You just got to get under there. So, you know, I think that it is sort of a callback to that, though. I think it showed us just how powerful that weapon is and why he walks around with it.
Because it ultimately steps in and is destroyed.
Yeah, I think it would, and I like that the plan didn't go perfectly.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I thought that was just like a really fun scene, and obviously the villagers had to win, or
it
else that would have been genocidal.
Yeah, the show ends.
Yeah, that would have been so crazy
if
for Disney
Raider
Plus
just
to
picks
just
up Baby Yoda. The end. Credits. Dave Filoni. Like, that's.
Have you seen all those tweets that are like, "What would you rather see other than Baby Yoda dying?" And would you rather delete your Twitter or see Baby Yoda die?
I would rather delete Twitter as an app and everyone off Twitter.
Wow.
If that meant that Baby Yoda would stay alive,
I agree.
Who needs Twitter in their life?
It's true.
Which I'm on at Christian DMZ. But yeah, no, I that's not much of a choice. I don't ever want to see Baby Yoda die.
No.
Yeah, you know, unless he dies like old Yoda, where he grows old and then he becomes one with the Force. That's fine.
Yeah,
but
agreed.
I don't want to see him like die in this show.
Agreed.
But sorry, Steph, I interrupted.
So that final scene, or the last couple scenes where he has to make that decision, I thought at the time it was the good.
Traveling with me is no life for him.
It's not.
It's true.
That's what I thought, but then we always keep forgetting that the tracker is still there.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Where is the tracker?
Like, can they, like, you know,
I think we know where it is.
Can you? Oh, yikes.
I think we know.
Is that where it is?
I think we know.
I was going to say, like, is it in his foot and you could cut it out? But I think Ryan's found where it was.
Asshole.
No. Oh, no. It can be found knee-deep in his McClunky.
It's in his McClunky.
Yo.
But we need to find out where that is.
We need to find where it is. Isn't there a way to scan for it?
You know? I don't know. It just seems like the Mandalorian would know how to do, since that's what he's messing with all the time, his bounty.
That's a good point, Christian.
Even if you can't take it out, like, I don't know. Like, if we were in our world and I was like, oh, they've got some kind of like electrical tracker on them. Look, this is going to hurt Baby Yoda. I'd put those paddles from the hospital on them and shock them. I don't think they're going to work anymore.
It's a really good point.
Come on. Put like a one of those restraining bolts that droids wear. You know, something.
Yeah. Or is there a way to just jam the signal? Like,
yeah, that too.
It's definitely an issue. I think he didn't realize, though, how big of an issue it was until the end of this episode. Because... Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about it. I thought that made sense. Jeff, what are we doing?
Well, because...
That's a thermal exhaust port. It sounds like that's where the trackers lie. That's what I've gathered.
I absolutely knew what Jeff was going for. And I decided I wasn't going to acknowledge it. I was going to let one of you do it.
We need to figure out where the tracker is. Where's the tracker?
Side note, can we get Baby Yoda a bulletproof vest to wear?
He doesn't need one. He's a Jedi. He's fine.
Listen.
Blaster proof.
It's an emotional end of the year. If we lose Baby Yoda, lose.
By the way, if we lose Baby Yoda and at the Oscars, they don't have him as part of the In Memoriam, they're missing out.
They don't know film.
But I don't want us I don't want us to lose Baby Yoda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up. So I love that final scene where Kara has his back, and it's so well shot. Kudos to Bryce Dallas Howard, because you really think it is a high tension moment where Yoda, he has a dead shot to Baby Yoda.
I fell for it again, because they did the same exact bit in the first episode where IG-11's like, he must be killed, and then you hear a gunshot and you're like, what? And then IG-11 falls. Same thing with this. Scoped up. It's in the sights, Baby Yoda. You hear a blaster shot. Mando's like, helmet's about to come off. The sexual tension's so high. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he goes back, and then you just see the bounty hunter fall. I can't believe I fell for it again.
Yeah.
But if you listen close enough, before Kara shot him, McClunky.
Yeah.
She definitely said, she didn't.
Oh, okay.
Steph's
like,
looking
really?
At me like she did.
I was shut up.
Jeez, no way.
No way.
I think that one thing alone would make me decide I don't need to watch the rest of the show.
Yeah, that would be crazy. All right, well, that wraps up the episode.
Yes. But what does Ryan have for us?
Yeah. Director's Corner.
Yes.
Director's Corner.
Yes.
Yes, Director's Corner. Bryce Dallas Howard. Bryce Dallas Howard.
The first on-screen Gwen Stacy from Spider-Man 3.
Yes, Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire. And she's an amazing actress. She's the daughter of Ron Howard, another amazing filmmaker. Also directed a Star Wars property, Solo, a Star Wars story. Picking up from Chris Miller and Phil Lord.
Lord and Miller.
She has Star Wars in the family. She's been raised with these movies. Her dad's always been a massive fan and has directed something. So it's only right. It's only correct for her to direct an episode of this show. And I thought she did an awesome job. She, you know, in all these interviews over the past couple of weeks talking about this show, she's been really passionate about introducing Gina Carano's character and saying, you know, oh, I'm just adding little details, having conversations with her. So I really thought she did an awesome job. She's a great director. She's done a few TV episodes in the past. She also starred in a great episode of Black Mirror, season 3 on Netflix. So yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard, I'm really impressed. She's also the second woman to ever direct any live action Star Wars, which is, you know, it's long overdue, but she crushed it.
Yeah.
Really cool. And I hope she gets more under her belt. I really thought that the direction in this episode was great. It was an awesome pacing. And, you know, when you have a father like Ron Howard, who's just the masterclass director, she had to pick some stuff up from him. And I totally think she crushed this episode. I hope she gets more.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I thought she was amazing.
Yeah, I think she did a great job. And this was a good one, I think, too, for when they you know, broke down the assignments for the directors. I think this was one that made sense for her, and I think she did a fantastic job.
I agree, because there was more women than we've gotten in any episode, in one episode, including the bartender, the love interest in Kara. So it does, in the daughter, it makes sense that there would be a female director's take in inherently needed for this type of episode as well. Absolutely. So I thought it was a great pick for her and a good episode. So thanks, Rye.
She crushed it.
Let's get into news and gossip, which has to do with our girl, too.
News and gossip. AfterBuzz TV news. So yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard. We talked about this on Star Wars News yesterday, 4 p.m. Pacific Thursdays. She was talking about the infamous soup scene. Baby Yoda drinking it and just what everything that had to go into that scene. So again, it's a really complicated choreography with Kara and Mando fighting, and then everything settles down and you see Baby Yoda. And Steph, she mentioned a few alternate takes of how they were shooting
it. Yeah, she has this fun quote about it, because she was saying, like Ryan was saying, she was saying it was such an intense scene and it was really well choreographed and they were battling it out and just using all their might, and then Baby Yoda springs into the scene sipping his soup, and she says everything else goes away. All these amazing feats of athleticism and martial arts and all this stuff just becomes Baby with soup, and all we wanted to do was a zillion takes of how Baby was going to drink his soup. Would he drink it with one hand, with two hands, sipping it a lot, sipping it a little bit? There were so many options, and I just thought that was so funny, because I thought it was great. What they picked was great, but I would have that same idea too. Like, how would Baby Yoda sip his soup?
Right. And just the timing of the scene, too. That's why it's been the biggest meme on the internet the past week, because it's just, it looks so funny. And also, it's so adorable. Yeah. That, yeah, I would stop fighting and look at that and then just settle down and talk about your past.
Yeah.
Because they immediately make up after that. Like, they're friends. Baby Yoda brings them together.
What else is happening in Star Wars news? A lot. We cover it, like Rye said, Thursdays, 4 p.m. on Popcorn Talk, so you can get more in-depth look at to what's happening in Star Wars news there. But right.
I have another thing.
What? Yeah.
So we were talking about Baby Yoda just uniting everyone, like the soup scene. I did send a video, Jeff. It's a little montage I cut together of Baby Yoda basically uniting the country. We've had a ton of celebrities reach out. Or not reach out, just be asked in interviews, like, hey, have you seen Baby Yoda? What are your thoughts on Baby Yoda? And I cut this little video together. I think we're putting it up on the screen right now. Enjoy. Oh, man. All right, here we go. So it's Baby Yoda in the cockpit, the classic button.
Baby Yoda.
Stop touching things.
Baby Yoda. Floating in the pod, Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda.
There it is.
Levitating a horn monster, Baby Yoda.
I feel like Baby Yoda has united the country.
Elizabeth Moss
in a way that is very necessary.
What's cuter, Baby Yoda or a porg?
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda is going to finally bring us together. Maybe Baby Yoda could be president of the United States.
I'd vote for him.
Same. That's my nominee.
I'd want to know where he stood on
healthcare. That's my
president. I want to know where he stands on healthcare for all. And I'll decide whether or not I vote for him.
We know he'll lift us up, literally.
Oh my god!
Where did this song come from?
Look at him leave in a galaxy.
Did you record that song? Did you have a
courtesy studio? Jeff, do you know how to pronounce the name fully?
Perry Grip. Perry long Grip. Time fan of Perry Grip. If you guys like that, check out Chimpanzee Riding on a Segway, Cat Flushing a Toilet. He's the man.
All Shut of out. That. Yeah, so there was a lot more news. J.J. Abrams, there was a cute... Sorry,
a lot
Ryan.
More news, by the
there
way.
There was a lot more news. I want to tease you guys a little bit. There's a lot more... There was three TV spots released last week, which was awesome. And there was a live Q&A at Galaxy's Edge with the entire cast and J.J. Abrams, and it was really fun to watch. That's on YouTube, and it, I suggest you guys watch it. And
don't forget the big announcement about Episode 7. Not Episode 7 of Star Wars, but Episode 7 of The Mandalorian.
That's right. Episode 7 of Mandalorian will be on a Wednesday, people!
Yes!
A Wednesday, not a Friday, because later that week, there's another little Star Wars thing coming out.
So hopefully we can switch our coverage to...
Well, and they wanted to attach some kind of special trailer to Mandalorian, I guess, so that's what they put it on Wednesday. Some of us might have seen the movie by then, but that's neither here nor there.
Mm.
Wink.
Okay, let's get into some predictions. Christian, you want to start us off?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Are you unsure?
Well, I've seen the next one, so this becomes awkward.
Oh, but, yes!
But I will say that something that happens in the next one is something that I predicted. Look, I think at some point, Mando's not going to be able to keep going from planet to planet like Bill Bixby in the old Incredible Hulk show. Oh, can't you stick around? No, I've got to be moving on. And eventually, I think he's going to get ambushed by, you know, I don't know, the guild or at least multiple bounty hunters. And he's not going to be able to fight his way out of it. And Baby Yoda will save him again. I feel like that's an episode 8 sort of a thing. But I think that that's something we'll see down the road.
Yeah, we have seen the next episode. But I think one thing this episode hinted at for long term is I think the helmet's coming off.
Yeah.
I do predict. I know he's Mandalorian culture. But I think this new element in his life, which is Baby Yoda, is going to complicate him and his culture and also his profession of being a bounty hunter. And I think the helmet is going to come off. There's going to be a situation where he has to take the helmet off in order to save Baby Yoda, something like that. And he's going to have to choose his culture or Baby Yoda. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great prediction. My prediction is actually on the screen right now. It's of me disguising myself as Baby Yoda so the Mandalorian will let me sit on his lap.
Wanted to give a shout out to the chat because this is something we were talking about before. Let's see, I lost it. Eduardo Cruz has the idea that a DNA subspace tracker, so that there's not an actual device on Baby Yoda, but it's set to his DNA. So in that case, you could still, I don't know.
That's
boy,
so
if only
up.
He had some extra armor around that might inhibit the reception.
Ooh.
So maybe we could get Yoda Mando armor?
Leave Baby Yoda alone!
You don't deserve him!
All right.
Real quick, I do want to say, I'm glad you guys brought out the helmet. We have one more minute, so I'm just going to go over this. One more big, funny culture moment in Mandalorian. People are talking about Pedro Pascal's energy being very hot, despite the fact that you don't see anything about Pedro Pascal.
I agree completely.
He's playing into it. This is a very funny moment. Here's a little meme of someone running down a beach, kind of coiling in a thong, saying, me putting the biggest bounty on my head possible so the Mandalorian can come get me. And he tweeted back and said, I'm gonna get you.
Wait, I need to tweet at Pedro.
Yeah,
yes,
so,
you do, Steph.
Wow.
It's a pretty funny, it's a BuzzFeed article, and it's talking about how there's sort of this just really sexy energy that Mando's exuding despite the fact that you never see an inch of him.
Yeah, I really thought I was alone in that space, but guess not. The internet agrees.
Yes.
Once again, the Mandalorian is bringing us together in more ways than we thought possible. So thank you, Star Wars.
Thank you.
Okay, and we are going to be covering the next episode right after this, so yep. Don't go anywhere. But if you don't have time, where can we find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ and Thursdays over on the Popcorn Talk Network for Marvel movie news. That's 1 p.m. Pacific with our friend Grand Admiral Zia.
Yes, and you can find me at Ryan Nilsen on Twitter and at Ryan Nilsen, NILSEN _ on Instagram. You can find Steph and I on Star Wars News every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific. And you can watch the show I produce, DC Movie News, with Roxy Stryer, 1 p.m. on Fridays.
Yes, I'm Steph Sabraw. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabraw. And we will see you guys shortly. May the Force be with you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.